In the gospel reading today, we are told that our Lord spoke a parable to his disciples to teach them about the necessity to pray always without becoming weary. To pray always. Each one of us needs to ask ourselves, really, how much do I actually pray? The Lord is saying we're supposed to pray always. If we look at what we hear in the second reading, St. Paul, now obviously he's talking to Timothy about his preaching, but we can apply the same to prayer. And he said, be persistent whether it's convenient or inconvenient. One of the struggles that we deal with regard to prayer is that often we're rather hot and cold depending on whether things are going well or whether they're not. So sometimes when things are going well, we think that we don't need to pray. On the other hand, when things aren't going well, then we get angry and we quit praying. So the devil wins either way. He's got us. We're not praying. The Lord says we're supposed to pray always. When we look at the first reading, we also have to recognize that prayer isn't always easy. A lot of people think that prayer should be fun, that it should be filled with consolation, that it should be really pleasant or exciting or whatever it might be. The vast majority of the time in prayer is definitely not. It's usually silent. Sometimes it can be actually quite painful because God is purifying from within us those things that stand between Him and us. And that's not fun when that happens. And yet it's a necessity because prayer is really about loving God. It is about a relationship with God. The whole purpose of prayer is ultimately to be conformed to Jesus Christ. And so we think about the people that we associate with. You become like them. You become like them because you hang around with them, because you talk with them, because you have a relationship with them. And all of a sudden, you'll notice that your personality starts conforming a little bit more to that person. Married couples are especially in that way, even to the point the humorous part is they even start looking like one another after a number of years, but they start acting like one another, they speak like one another, because they're with one another so much. Well, the goal of our life is to be united with God. And that means that we need to spend time with Him, to talk with Him. That's what prayer really is. It's conversation with God. It's carrying on that intimate converse with the Lord in the depths of our heart. And again, sometimes it's a real struggle, which is why St. Paul would tell us, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, we need to persist. If we look even at the first reading, and we see the necessity of prayer as Moses goes up this hill and holds out his arms so that in through his prayer, the people of Israel are going to be victorious in battle. But think about it. Again, we just hear this little story and it's like, well, that's pretty cool. But let's put it into a context. Moses is more than 80 years old at this point. He has to climb this hill at 80 some years old. Aaron and Hur are also in their 80s. Actually, Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. And then Moses says, I'm going to go up to the top of the hill and I will hold the staff of God in my hand and I'll raise my hands and I'll be praying. Now think about this. An 80-some-year-old man, just if he was raising his hands would be quite a challenge, but he's got the staff of God in his hand. So here he is holding this walking staff and he's got his hands up. And of course, we're told that his arms got tired, and when he let them down, then Amalek got the better of the battle. If he'd hold them up, then Israel had the better of the battle. So Aaron and Hur put a rock in place and hold up his arms all the way until sunset. So there they were up on top of this hill from sunrise to sunset with Moses having his arms held out. Talk about perseverance, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. Imagine what his shoulders felt like, the stiffness that would have been there. But it was the reason for which he did it, out of love for his people. It tells us also that when there is someone that we love who needs prayer, it's easy for us to just simply say, I'll pray for you. Sometimes we forget. Maybe we'll say Hail Mary or a quick prayer, and then we forget all about it. But this story reminds us that we need to keep praying. If there's something that's really on our heart, we need to be praying constantly. But we need to be praying constantly anyway. It's easy for us when there's kind of an emergency, all of a sudden, boy, do we become people of prayer. But we need to be praying always. And there are differing ways of being able to do that. In some of the Eastern rites, they will pray the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. When they start, they go to the priest and he'll tell them, okay, pray it 100 times a day. So the person learns to pray it 100 times a day. And they come back after a few weeks and say, yep, I'm praying it 100 times every day. Is it good? Pray it 500 times a day. Like, what? Pray it 500 times a day. So the person starts learning how to pray it 500 times a day. Come back and said, okay, I've got it. I'm praying 500 times a day. That's good. Pray it 1,000 times a day. And as they learn to do this, suddenly they realize they're praying all day long. You can do that even with a little prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Just praying for God's mercy. It's just a small, quick little prayer. Your whatever favorite prayer you've got. You can pray Hail Marys all day. You can do whatever. You can carry on conversation with God all day. It doesn't have to just be a rote kind of prayer. If you have the ability, you can talk to God throughout the whole day. Now, there also need to be formal times of prayer. And so it's to set those times aside, to be able to say, okay, this is when I'm going to pray whatever prayer, this particular kind of prayer. But then throughout the day, we can still continue to pray. And maybe you have the kind of job or to have to deal with tasks that are rather intellectually taxing. They require that you be really focused. And so if that's the case, you can't just be praying things like the Jesus Prayer or something all day long, because your mind has to be focused on what you're doing. So if that's the case, then you employ what Saint Benedict talked about. He told his monks, before you start a task, you pray and you ask for the grace to be able to do what you're going to do. And then try to pray during it. There might be a little few seconds here or there where you can stop and just again ask for God's help. And then he said, pray when you're finished, thanking God for the grace to be able to do the task that you were able to accomplish. So again, in this way, it is that constantly recognizing our dependence on God, constantly keeping our hearts and minds turned toward the Lord, and conforming ourselves more and more to Him. Right now, if we look at our society, we recognize that in human history there has never been a time when prayer is more necessary. And there has never been a time in human history where prayer has been less. Because with all of our conveniences, with all of our technology, with all of the craziness of our lives, we forget to pray. We don't think we need to, because we think that we can depend on all these other things. We're not quite so dependent on God. And so we tend to forget about prayer. So my challenge to you is to begin by asking the question, what would you actually want? If things were the best of all possible worlds, what would you want your prayer life to actually look like? Now, what steps need to be made to get there? So in other words, if you look at it and say, well, you know, I'd like to go to daily mass and I'd like to have at least a half hour of mental prayer every day, but it'd be nice if I could do an hour or two of that. And I need to pray my rosary, and I want to pray morning and evening prayer and night prayer from the breviary, and I want to do the Divine Mercy Chapel, and I want to do these novenas and blah, 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 blah. It's like if you try and do them all today, you're going to get crushed underneath it and you will quit by the end of the week. So start with one thing. And when you get pretty good at doing that one thing, then add something more. When you get good at doing that, add more. When you get good at doing that, add more until you're where you want to be. You also need to make sure that you are setting specific times for prayer. Because in our humanness, what we do is say, I'll do it later. Pretty soon you're in bed saying, I'll do it again tomorrow. And we never got to it because, we'll do it later, we'll do it later. The devil is a professional at bringing things up right when it's time to pray. So you need to make prayer the priority. If you had a doctor's appointment, you're going to make it the priority. You're going to get there. God is far more important than the doctor. Make prayer the priority. Set it right out so you can say, okay, at this time, this is what I pray. Or if it doesn't work with a particular time, couple it with an event. As soon as dishes are finished, that's when we pray the rosary. As soon as I brush my teeth, that's when I do my mental prayer, whatever it might be. So you know when it's going to happen. Even if it's at a little different time, you know that it's with this event. And then have a plan B in mind. In other words, I want to be able to pray, let's say at 7 o'clock, but if something comes up at 7 o'clock, all right, then when am I going to pray? If I couldn't do it then, when am I going to? Otherwise, we're right back to saying, I'll do it later, and it isn't going to happen. So we need to make it the priority. And we need to be able to learn how to pray. Because this is the most important thing. Our Lord asked the question at the end of the gospel reading, when he returns, will he find any faith on earth? That's a pretty scary thought. But if we look at what's been going on in the church over the last number of years, more and more and more people are falling away. And the reason that people fall away, we can point to all kinds of different things, but ultimately it comes down to the fact people aren't praying. We find other things to do. We find other things more important. We have more excuses of why we don't want to do this. But prayer is about loving God, which again is something important to understand. A lot of people, you know, we teach kids to pray, and of course, in teaching them, it becomes either just saying prayers or the petitionary prayer, but it's kind of give me, give me, give me, give me. I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. And when we don't get what we want or in the time that we want it, then we get angry and we get frustrated and we quit. Prayer is about loving God. It's not about what we're going to get, it's about what we give. Because love is a two-way street. God is there loving us. Our task is to be there to love him. So that's what it's really about. Not give me, give me, give me, but about conforming ourselves more and more to the Lord, who is love, and who is truth. And that's what we want to be about. So when we look at that first reading again, life is a battle. It's a battle for your soul. And so you have to make a choice as to how you're going to develop that. How are you going to build up your soul? How are you going to protect your soul? How are you going to be able to do battle against the enemy of your soul? Because he wants to destroy you and he wants you to be with him for eternity. So we have to make a choice to say, I want to be with God. So again, look at what your spiritual life really is. If you go to Mass once a week, and that's the end of your spiritual life, then we have a long, long, long way to go. If you're going to Mass and you're saying some prayers, we still have a long way to go. We have to really look seriously at this because the battle is on. The battle is for our souls. And if we look at the very purpose of life, it's preparation for eternity. So what are we doing to get where we want to be? If we want to be united with the Lord, then we need to make the effort to be united with the Lord. And that's what the prayer life is all about. And again, sometimes, remember, it can be very painful. That doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. That means that God's purifying things. Persevere, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. Keep bringing yourself back to prayer. Make it the priority in your life. There truly is nothing that is more important. So that's the way, if you want to love your spouse and your children more, this is the way to do it. Love God more, and you'll love the people around you more. Take that time for the Lord. He will order your life so that everything is going to work well. Doesn't necessarily make it easy. As we see with Moses going up the mountain and holding up his hands all day long, it's not always easy. Probably wasn't too fun sitting up there on the mountain with his hands up all day. Prayer isn't always fun either. But it's a necessity, Jesus said. Not only a necessity to say some prayers, not just a necessity to even have a prayer life, a necessity to learn to pray always without becoming weary.